What we see is a very difficult situation, a tragic situation, in which that person must be isolated from the community. They are to dress, and their appearance is to demonstrate, to highlight that something is wrong. Muffling their beard, uncovering their head, shouting out to people, of course, unclean! Unclean! But it's a very difficult situation for those people. We see that they must remain outside in deserted places. In deserted places, it's not desert places. Deserted has nothing to do with desert either. Deserted and deserted. Different accent. The point being is we see in the gospel text this example that I said in the introduction, that Jesus doesn't simply come to be with us, but he is with us in a way in which he takes upon himself the consequences of our sins. Not just the consequences of the sin itself. The consequences of the situation of leprosy is isolation, being separated. And what do we see happen? There's a couple of things that happen that aren't supposed to happen. The leper approaches Jesus. He's not supposed to do that. Another thing that's not supposed to happen, Jesus is not supposed to touch the leper. No one is supposed to touch the leper. And then Jesus does that. This dialogue between them, it's interesting. I'll have to research it more. I was getting ready to mass last night, and I was like, now I'm in the back looking at the Greek, and so I'm like getting ready for to come in, and I'm like trying to find a Greek word and things and stuff. But it's interesting that what the leper asks of Jesus is not to be healed. Did you notice that? He doesn't say, if you will it, you can heal me. It's not what he says. He says, if you will it, you can make me clean. Now what's interesting about that distinction is that when you go to later where it says, do the prescription to Moses according to the law, and that would be enough for them. Have you ever read what a leper is supposed to do? Right? Book of Leviticus. 32 verses it takes to cover what a leper is supposed to do in order to be cleansed. Look it up sometime. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of it. It has to do with three lambs, one female, two men. I gotta be careful with fingers I throw up here. One female, two males, two doves. They take one dove. So the missionary, the college priest, the priest goes out to meet them and inspect them. Okay, they're cleansed, or they're healed, right? So then the priest has to take one of the birds over a thing of water, the one bird, and then has to take the other bird that's still alive with a piece of cedar wood, a piece of hyssop, and a piece of yarn, dip the bird alive into this, and sprinkle the verse seven times, and then release the bird. Step one. Then the leper, who's no longer a leper, needs to wash their clothes. You imagine? Yeah, you want to wash your clothes, right? Wash your clothes, bathe, and shave all the hair off of their head. Now we're not talking about the whole boot game, we shave the top. Eyebrows, beard, top of head, all hair on the head, gone. I guess I should say the ridiculous. Then the leper, except on the leper, is the healed person, right? The healed leper is allowed back in the camp to be, but they can't go into their house for 8 days. 8 days they sit outside of their house. And then, after 8 days, then you have the two male lambs, the female lamb, the grain offering and oil. goodness for the priesthood that I participated in. Because all I had is post-traumatic stress from going hunting with my little brother and having to clean stuff with him. And it's just like full of things, and it's like hitting me in the face. And I'm like, come on, man, what are you doing? You know? That's what I'm having these flashbacks of, reading all of these descriptions of love and all of these things. And only after all of that, then the person is clean. They were healed, but it takes all of that to make them clean. And so there is a distinction between healing and cleanliness in the sense of ritually pure and clean. So we see all of that, Jesus, and it's funny because what does he ask? He says, if you will it, it's beautiful because it's exactly the same thing. If you will it, you can make it clean. I will it. It's the same exact word. If you will it, imagine it hurt. But you can make it clean. And so Jesus says, I do will it. He touches him, and he's healed, and presumably made it clean. Do you understand that? Jesus, all those rites of purification, worked to heal the person from leprosy. The person was healed. It was to bring them back in, it was to purify them, to be a part of the assembly group. Jesus does both in one moment. Why? Because all those rites of sacrifice and grain offerings and oil and doves getting dumped and used as sprinklers and all of this stuff, all points to him. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those sacrifices. And so in one moment, Jesus is the high priest. Not only is he the high priest who is inspecting, he is the high priest that makes the offering. Not only is he the high priest that makes the offering, he himself is the sacrifice that is offered. Like it all collapses into Jesus. He is all, in the moment. And in him, this leper is not only healed as a miracle worker, but also one that is made richly pure with one moment, one touch, one heart moved with compassion. He does it all. Then he's just like, all right, so you got to go do what Moses said. And it's funny because he gets the impression of text that the guy does not obey Jesus. Because it gets a sense of like, immediately, this man went out and proclaimed what Jesus had done for him. No. Jesus said, go and do what Moses told you to do, and that will be good for them. You know, go and fulfill the prescriptions of the law, and that will be good for them. It's going to at least take 8 days for him to do that. He's going to have to go home. He's going to have to go to the temple now, not just any place, but to the temple to do all these things. How far are they away from the temple? This guy's got a journey, he's got a task that he has to do. And it gives the impression that he just goes out immediately and starts proclaiming Jesus. And what are the consequences of that? The leper who had to live in deserted places. I know I've got it in bed, we're all thinking of ice cream, brownies, cookies, deserted places, mountains, deserted places. He had to live in deserted places. But now where is Jesus at? The gospel writer says, because of his saying, he couldn't even go into a town anymore and had to find himself living in the deserted places that was once occupied by the love. This story of healing, my brothers and sisters, is so beautiful. Conveying to us this truth. Jesus comes into our world, he comes into our life, but just doesn't come to be around us and say, hey, you know, I can help you with that, I can help you with that. No, he comes into you. He takes it to himself. He takes it upon himself. He experiences the consequences of being a leper without being a leper. that you walk away from today's honor and knowing, this is the Lord's love. Think about things in your life that you hate or despise, or you think are ugly or broken, and all of these things, and you think that somehow these things keep you from Jesus, or, you know, I gotta fix this before I have nothing to be a part of my life, be able to receive His love and all this. Know. Know, my brothers and sisters. You think you're running around and say, oh, I will heal myself from leprosy before I can allow Jesus to be part of my life. Good luck! There's a work that we do. He meets us in our brokenness. It is not, it's the Father or Mother watching your child playing on the playground, and like, boom! The kid finds it, right? Boom!
If you find ourselves there,
that's the image we want to give of the church, my brothers and sisters, we are not any enemy of Jesus. And here's the thing, if we follow him, we will be pushed to the periphery of our society. We will be held in contempt. People will look at us and they will say, unclean, unclean. It's significant. I can ignore them. I say this, it's weird. There's an understanding of what the Catholic Church in America, that when JFK was elected as president, there was this sense that all of a sudden, Catholics are finally accepted in the United States. We are on some periphery church of all these little ethnic minorities that have traveled across the ocean and talk funny and sound funny and do funny things. We are Catholics. We are now part of the culture. We are now JFK, right? All of a sudden. Let me just say, I know that it's going to be totally I'm not old enough to have been around. But this idea that Catholics have finally made it. We are now on the line. We are now leading. Everything is going to listen to that blah, blah, blah. My brothers and sisters, that is not where we need to find ourselves. And there's one thing we learned from Pope Francis. It's this invitation that if everybody loves you, you're not living the gospel message. The invitation for us to find those who are in hurting, in pain, to share with them the redemption of Jesus Christ. So, I say it to you, one, to evaluate ourselves as a church. What are we striving for? Do we want to be loved by everybody? Then that is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to love everyone, whether they love us or not. So the reflection is of what sobriety means. The ability for us to look at ourselves and to understand where we must look.